We are continuing in a four-part sermon series that Pastor Jay so eloquently kicked off last week. And so today, what I want to do is I want to continue that and talk about the DNA of our values. What's the values of Connect Church? And so I'm going to ask you, if you can, today is going to be somewhat sermonic, but it's going to also be strategic. And so I'm going to ask you to hear both sides of it. So it's going to be a sermon, but I'm also setting the strategy for our church. And it's a good thing for us to set our strategy and to understand who we are as a church starting out this 2019. And then also because what we did at the end of 2018 was we combined two churches. And so I just think it's so, can I get this one? Thank you. Thanks, man. Thank you, sir. I think it's so appropriate that we talk about this because what we've done is we've brought two churches together. And the one thing about churches and organizations is that what defines a church is what they stand for and who they are and what they value. And so today, that's the thrust of our sermon. And if I could just set the stage, the sermon idea today that I hope that you walk away with is this, is that our Christ-centered DNA describes the center of who we are as a church. And that's what I want to talk about today, is the very center of who Connect Church is. And it sets up our values, it sets up the vision, and it sets the strategy of how Connect Church is going to go about doing ministry. And I must say at this point that I am so excited to be connected to a church that really has the heart of Jesus Christ and the heart of the gospel. I am so excited to be connected to a church that our church, there's very few times during the week that this church is empty. This church is being used over and over and over again. And man, I'm just excited that we are a church that understands that we are to be a Christian and we are to share and that we are to have all things in common. And so I'm just so excited to be connected with a church that is just so community-centric. I don't think I've ever been connected to a church that is as community-centric as Connect Church is. And so I just want you to know, and I hope that you are just as proud as I am to be connected with a church that is community-centric. Amen? And so at this time, I want us to all stand, and we're going to get started, and I'm going to read the first text, and then we're going to see what God says. Amen? All right, so as you stand, turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16. And we're going to read this just to get us started on the center of who Connect Church is going to be. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. All right, I hear some hold ups out there. It's all right. All right. St. John 3:16 says this. It says, "For God so loved the world." Please highlight and emphasize and circle that word "so." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. We just thank you, God, for this opportunity that we have to share. I thank you, God, for this word today. I pray, God, that this word falls on the good soils of our heart. God, that it touches, God, at the center of who we are, God, the DNA of who we are. God, I pray that it brings back a harvest. I pray that it doesn't fall on the stony grounds. I pray, God, that it takes hold, that it germinates in our soul, so, God, that we can become the people that you've called us to be, that we could do what you called us to do, God, and we could have what you said that we could have. And so, God, I just thank you that here I stand, God. Today, God, I ask you to do one thing and one thing only, that is to wear me like a glove. Use me for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so, God, I just give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. You can be seated. As you look at any organization, whether it's corporate, whether it's nonprofit, whether it's a for-profit, whether it's a church, one of the distinctives of the most successful organizations is how well they outline and how they live out the values of their organization. How well do they live out who they are and what they stand for? Man, there's a few organizations that I'm just excited about because they truly live out and have outlined the values that they stand for. And the first one at the top of the list, I'm quite sure that all of you all have heard of St. Jude's Children's Hospital. The one thing about St. Jude's Children's Hospital is this: they live by, and their creed, their value is that no child will be denied treatment. They live that out. They flesh that out every single day, that at St. Jude's Children's Hospital, no child will be denied treatment. There is this food company called Sweet Green. Sweet Green's value statement is this. It says that we're going to connect people to some real food. Man, what an awesome value statement. That they live to connect people to real food. And then in honor of the founder of Southwest Airlines, I just thought that this guy was just so crazy. I mean, Herb was just crazy. I mean, Herb said he turned the whole airline industry upside down because he made flying fun. And he says that they were going to operate Southwest Airlines with a fun, loving attitude. Man, that's a company that knows who they are and what they stand for and what they want to accomplish and also what they want to be known for. And so all of that's good for them, but for us as Connect Church, the first question I ask in the first staff meeting when I came on, the first question I ask is, I said, what do we want to be known for? Who are we? Because not every church is called to every person. Every church has some distinctives. Every church has something that God has called them to do. And so today, I want us to talk about what are the values, what are the distinctives for Connect Church. Because for us to move from just surviving to being a church that is thriving, is going to be imperative that we understand who we are and what we stand for. And so today I only have four. I have four things, four values, four distinctives that Connect Church is going to be known for. And the first one is this. When we just stood and we read John 3:16. And I so love John 3:16 because my first experience in church, that was the first scripture. If you were a child and you got started in church, that's the first thing that you learn as a church. I mean, it's so common to us that sometimes I believe we miss the very essence of it, because if I was to ask you to quote it, what would instinctively come off, what you would instinctively say is, man, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's true. But this is what God has impressed upon, as I've been studying this, this is what God impressed upon me, was to slow down and to read that scripture just a little bit slower. And every time I slow down and I read scripture slowly, man, certain words just jump out at me. And the word that jumped out at me of this very familiar scripture is, it says, for God so. Man, I got excited when I saw it. I said, God, you so love the world. See, if you just say, God, for God so loved the world, you miss the essence and you miss the emphasis of that text. You see, that text is the foundation to everything that we believe as a believer. And so if you don't understand, it's in that so. You say, what are you talking about? See, this text says that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. You said the so. Yeah, see, the so is in spite of. In spite of everything that you had going on in your life, he so loved you. In spite of all of the hurts and pains and struggles, all of your hang-ups, all of your sin, all of the things that you could possibly come up with, the text says that for God so loved you that he looked past all of that. And he so loved you. Even when you was deep down in your sin, the text says that he so loved you. And so the first value for Connect Church is that we will be a church that loves well. You see, God loved us well. He loved us in spite of everything that, all of the sin, all of the hurt, all of the shame. I mean, he, in spite of all of that, God looked above all of that. He looked past all of that. He didn't even see our sin. And he loved us anyway. And so we will be a church that loves well. So glad you asked. What is love well? The definition I have here is this, is that to love someone well, you love someone enough to look past differences, past pains, past ethnicity, past culture, and catch this, you see people as God sees them. Man, if we're going to be if just in the name of our church, Connect Church, if we're going to connect to people, the first thing that we're going to have to understand is that to connect with people, we're going to have to look past all of their faults. You see, one of the biggest problems that we have in the church is that we try to clean people before we catch them. And if there's any fisherman here, you understand that you can't clean them until you catch them. And we're going to catch them in love. We're going to catch them with love. We're going to come on in. I know what you're going through. I know that you've been, this is your sixth husband or your sixth wife. We gonna love you anyway. I I know you're hateful. Come on in. I know you can't stand. I'll let you fill in the blank. Come on. See, I believe this. If God was so gracious to look past the faults that I have, who am I to not look past the faults that somebody else has? You see, that's the whole issue here is that we're so thankful. No, I'm going to say it just like this. The people who've received the most grace are the most stingiest with grace. Did I just, bad pastor? How can we have so much grace and be so stingy? But at Connect Church, one of the distinctives is that we're going to love well. We're going to love someone enough to look past their faults, to look past their hang-ups, and we're going to love them, and we're going to see them the way God sees them. But not only are we going to love well, the second thing is that we must share the truth. We must share the truth. John chapter 8, verse 32 says this. It says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will catch this, make you free. Some translations say set you free. But see, I believe that it's the truth that not only sets you free, but it makes you free. And so if it was the truth of God's word that made you free, if you're not stingy sharing grace, you can't be stingy sharing the gospel. Because it was the truth of God's word that freed you. And if we're going to be a place that affects change, we can't be stingy sharing the truth. Because it was the truth of God's word that set us free. But then here's the thing, we have to share it in love. Ooh, I don't know if you grew up in the church the way I grew up in the church, but I grew up predominantly. I grew up in a African American holiness church where everything was about what you can't do. I couldn't have an afro, and I wanted an afro bad, but I couldn't have an afro. I couldn't have a curl. Man, I wanted a curl, man. I wanted to be slinging around that juice, man. I wanted a curl so bad. Nah, the Bible says you can't have a curl. I'm like, where is that? I'm yet to see that text in there. Where does it say, thou shall not have a curl? But see, it was all of these hang-ups, all of this trying to beat people over the head with the Bible. You can't beat people into love. You can't beat people into submission. But what you can do is you can love someone enough to share the gospel that made you free. That's good stuff right there, isn't it? Because see, here's the thing. Sometimes I think as Christians, when we've been saved for some length of time, sometimes we forget that somebody shared the gospel with us. You didn't just walk into this earth and was saved. Somebody loved you enough to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. So can I challenge us today? Who are we sharing the gospel with? And one of the distinctives of Connect Church is that we're not only going to love well, but catch this, we're going to share the truth of God's word. Amen? And not only are we going to share the truth of God's word, man, this is where I want to hang out for just a tad bit here, is on point number three, is we're going to love well, we're going to share truth, but man, here, if you're in Connect Church, you're going to get this one. We're going to do life in community. We're going to do life in community. You see, one of the things that really gets me is this, is that have you ever met someone that says that they are a believer, but then they say this, me and Jesus are on a personal kind of thing, so I don't have to go to church. Am I the only person that have ex-friends, I mean, friends that used to? Because I'm like, I can't even find this in here. There's nowhere that people were left alone to have just a relationship with God. If you're going to have a relationship with God, you must have a relationship with God's people. Because we were created to be in community. Ooh, go to Ephesians 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. Man, when in my time of study, man, this scripture right here, I'm telling you, it just wrecked me. It wrecked me. It says, but now in Christ, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It says, for he himself, Christ, is our peace, who made both groups, catch this, into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. How did he do it? By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Why? So that in himself he might make the two, catch this, into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. Man, that scripture right there tells me something. Ephesians 2:13 tells me this, is that we are a family created by God. And if we're going to live in community, we must understand that we are a family created by God. That when Jesus Christ went to the cross, and when they nailed him, when they hung him on the cross, when Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross for our sins, but he also went to the cross to break down any differences between us. Why? Because Jesus was creating a family unto himself. And so if we are believers of Jesus Christ, we must understand that we are one family. If we name the name of Jesus Christ, that means that we are one family. Man, as I was preparing, I was thinking about this song, and it's an old song. I know some of you probably won't even know what I'm saying, but there was a group of I think about four or five sisters way back in the day, and they came out with this song called "We Are Family." I got all my sisters with me. Well, that should be the theme song of all of us as we go through this thing called life. We are family, and I have all of my brothers and sisters here with me. That's what Christ went to the cross for, so that we could all be one family and one family under his name. We are a family that's been created by God. And here it is, the early church, you gotta understand this. The early church, they lived in such a way that they lived an extended family life. Man, that's a beautiful picture, to live life as an extended family. Here's what I'm saying. There are 7 billion people on this earth. And I forget how many of them are followers of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing that we must understand, is that we have a global family here. So when you meet someone that names the name of Jesus Christ, here's the thing, that the first thing that you ought to say is, "What's up, fam?" But see, what we do is we want to, instead of live life as an extended family, what we want to do is try to check and see if you're actually family. Where do you go to church? What kind of songs do y'all sing? Do you believe in heaven? Are you amillennial, premillennial, or postmillennial? Are you a Calvinist? Are you a 5-point? Are you a 3-point? Man, when I went to college, I almost just got up and my head just almost exploded. Because I'm like, man, we have all of these different things that try to define who we are. And I simply just, I asked the professor, I said, "Can I just ask you a question? Can I just be a believer? Huh? Are you a Calvinist?" Calvin wasn't even a Calvinist. I mean, anyway, we are a family that's created by God, and then we live life as an extended family. Because here's the thing, you must understand that the early Christians, There are two things that kind of help you identify what the early church was up against that caused them to all come as a single entity. Is this, is that you have to understand the climate that the early church was in. The climate that the early church was in, they were under attack. And so they had to come together. But not only were they under attack, not only was the climate not conducive, but the culture at that time was not conducive. Because the culture then is just like the culture now. It's the haves and the have-nots. And for Acts to record that this group of believers came together and they had all things in common, I mean, that was counterculture to what was going on at that time. Because at that time, you was either rich or you were poor. But this group of believers said that, man, one of the things that's going to define us is that we're going to have all things in common. And so we must live life as an extended family. And here's the other thing. I wasn't going to share this. I think I have time. I'm not for sure. But, okay, I'm going to have time. I appreciate it, Scott. Here's an interesting point that really helped me understand living life in community, and I hope I can communicate it in a way that you can understand it. One of the things that we have to understand as Christians is this, is that we are set apart by Christ, that we are a peculiar people, that we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so what that sets us up for is that because we are aligned with God, when we go out here and operate in this world, we have to understand, especially for men, who we are No, what we do don't define who we are. You see, if you name the name of Jesus Christ, actually what you're doing every day that you get up and you go do whatever that you do, you are a child of God. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. You are a visual, verbal disciple of Jesus Christ. But every day that you go to do whatever that you do, you are a believer disguised as a realtor. You are a believer disguised as a plumber. You are a believer disguised as an accountant. How can I say that? Because our first alignment is with God. But our assignment tells us that I have to go out here and disguise myself as this. Understanding that I go out every day with being aligned with God. And so when I meet someone else that's aligned with God, then we are in community together because they are on the same assignment. That's life in community. And so here at Connect Church, one of the distinctives, one of the values is that we do life in community. And so what I'm saying is that if you're not a part of a life group, I really need you to be a part of a life group. So at the end of this month, we're going to have a life group fair. And if you're not connected to a life group, I'm going to beg you, get connected with a life group. You're going to be amazed at what you find when you connect with people. Man, I am just so blown away by the connections that I have in the short time that we've been here. The connections that God has allowed me to make since I've been here. Man, I have met some wonderful folks that I wouldn't have otherwise met. Because here's the thing, the number one enemy, the number one tool of the enemy is to keep you isolated. And so it's one thing to understand that, but it's another thing to do something about it. And how you combat isolation is you get connected with others. And as time goes on, you just get a little bit more transparent. A little bit more transparent. And I don't know if you understand like I do, but man, when you're transparent, there's something freeing about being transparent. Ooh, I don't know about you, but have you lived a life trying to be someone else? It's tiring, isn't it? I mean, I'm so free now because I don't have anything to hide. I take that back. The only thing I do is every now and then I might add something on here so that I'm not as gray. All right? That's the only, I'm transparent. I'm being transparent because, you know, I'm somewhat gray, but then I'm not all the way. So, you know, sometimes I feel a little gray and sometimes I don't. So on those days, I just, you know, just add a little something and I keep on. But it fades away. And so here I am again, exposed again. Hey, it's a little gray. Well, y'all have me acting up today. Not only are we going to love well, share the truth, live in community, but the fourth thing is this, which actually should be the first thing, is understand this, is that all of us are being. I don't think any of us are transformed. But the Bible says, Romans 12:2, it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we are being transformed. And so we have to understand that about ourselves first, but then we also have to understand that about others. So if you meet someone who's not quite as transformed, please understand, there are some areas that you are not quite transformed either. So understand that one of the values is that we're going to understand that every partner here at Connect Church is being transformed. And what does that look like? That looks like this. It goes back to point number one. We're going to love them well and look past their faults and see them the way that God sees them. Because we want others to see us the way that God sees us. Because if there's any perfect people in here, please stand up and exit the building, because this is not the place for you. No perfect people are allowed. No perfect people are allowed at Connect Church. But if you're being transformed, this is the place for you. Because we are being changed. See, here's the thing that we have to understand. We're being changed so that we can see others change. Because changed lives equals a changed world. And so what does being transformed, what does it mean? It simply means this, that we need to surrender and submit to a life of following Jesus Christ. Surrender and submission. Throw in the towel. Just wave the flag. God, I surrender. God, I've tried to do it. I've tried to be perfect. I've tried to hide. I've tried to do all those things. God, I surrender. God, I cannot do this without you. God, I surrender. God, I have literally made a mess of my life. God, I surrender. God, whenever I think I'm doing right, God, I end up doing something wrong. God, I surrender. And God, because I've surrendered, now, God, here's what I'm going to do. God, I'm going to submit it and submit myself to you, God. So whatever you say, God, that's what I will do. God, if you tell me to love people who have despitefully used me, God, that's what I will do. God, if you tell me to embrace people that are distinctively different than me, God, that's what I will do, because I'm surrendered and I'm submitted to you. God, if you tell me, God, that I need to share my time and my talent and my treasures, God, because I'm surrendered, God, I submit everything to you. God, I surrender and I submit. And so as I close today, Connect Church, I want you to understand and know and walk away today understanding this. If anybody asks you, Connect Church will be a people that love well, share truth, do life in community, and are being transformed each and every day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for this opportunity. I thank you, God, for your word. God, I thank you for being a part of such a great church, God, whose heart is just bent toward you. God, I thank you for a group of people, God, who just honestly just love you, God, has a heart to serve, a heart to connect, a heart to build relationships with others. So God, I pray that you help us today, God, in all of these areas, God. All of us need help in all of these areas. So, God, I ask you to help each and every one of us today to love well. Help us, God, to share the truth, God. Give us a holy boldness, God, to share the truth, God, to help someone else be set free. God, I pray, God, that we open up, God, and be receptive to doing life in community, God. No longer isolated, God, but doing life in community, God. And I pray, God, for divine connections, God, as we do life in community, God. I just thank you, God, for life in community. And God, I just thank you, God, for the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit just comes in and just rest, rule, and reign in all of our hearts, God, because it's the Holy Spirit that you sent, God, as our comforter, God, that will cause us, God, that will help us, God, to be able to do all of this, God, because, God, we can't do it without you. And so, God, I just thank you, God, for what you're going to do in and through the life of this wonderful church called Connect Church. And so, God, I just thank you, God, that our hearts are right, that we have the energy and the boldness, God, to do all that you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen.